We just sing a song. What a beautiful name it is. And I want to share some thoughts about this beautiful name, what is Jesus Christ. A young man came to William Ewart Gladstone when he was a prime minister in England and said, "Mr. Gladstone, I would appreciate if you're giving me a few minutes in which I might lay before you my plans for the future." And he said, "I would study law." "Yes," said this great man. "And what then?" he asked. "Then, sir, I would like to gain entrance to the Bar of England." "Yes, young man." "And what then?" "Then, sir, I hope I will have a place in the Parliament, in the House of Lords." "And what then?" he asked. "Then I hope to do great things for Britain." "And what then?" "Then, sir, I hope to retire and take life easy." "And what then?" he tensely asked. "Well, then, Mr. Gladstone, I suppose I will die." "Yes, young man." "And what then?" The young man hesitated and then said, "I never thought any further than this," looking at the young man sternly and steadily. Gladstone said, "Young man, you are fool. Go home and think life through." What Mr. Gladstone asking this young man was simple question: what are you living for? He knew that the answer to that question will determine your direction of the life. If your purpose is wrong, your direction will be wrong. If your purpose is vague or fuzzy, your direction will be fuzzy. If you don't know your purpose, you will be swept by the current of our age, doing what seems to be to bring you happiness, as the story of the young man and the Gladstone illustrates. The correct answer on this question must include some thought about the fact of death and what lies beyond. It must also include consideration of uncertainty of life, so that whenever death may come, it doesn't thwart your purpose. So today I want we think about Paul's famous statement, which he wrote in Philippians 1:21. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Live Christ, die gain. Can you imagine? This is the words of one who hated Jesus. One whose heart was hard as a rock. This word belongs to one for whom Christ was the worst enemy. And the Apostle Paul was clear and was focused on his purpose. The purpose for which Paul lived is the only purpose that takes eternity into account, so that whether we live long life or short life, that purpose will be achieved. Why this verse is so important for us? Our view and understanding of this verse what determines all our actions, as we saw in this parable above, what Phil read. Yeah, this rich man, what he said, his plan, it the understanding determine our actions. It's determine our direction, our outlook on our life. This verse is most powerful criterion that we can fix in our minds and our hearts to determine the words and actions that we will make. It will also influence on the circle of our friends, what we will strive for, what we will desire what we'll pursue. These words will determine the direction of your children's upbringing and formation. It will evaluate the accents that will be essential in their formation. So there is no sphere these words can penetrate that is not important to it. It's everywhere. This verse has no secondary things, nothing that it would ignore. The actions and applications of this verse depend directly on the knowledge of God. If we underestimate God, it will reflect it in my mind, in my heart, and in my actions. If I look on God as God, my actions will be different. So in this verse, the answer on the question, what does it mean, live for Christ? In this verse, we can see next things, the purpose and meaning life, example to follow, encouragement, hope, rebuke, danger, warning, self-examination, paradox, inexplicable mystery of faith. So let's see a couple of these. Example to follow. Paul says, for me. It's his personal testimony. It's not something what people said and wrote about him. It's his personal testimony. Paul walked this path, he evaluated his actions, and saw the value in Christ. He endured hunger and cold, knew how to live in poverty and abundance, and dealt with those who little faith, who weak, and heretics. He went through all showing that his value was Christ. Looking back at all his suffering in his ministry, Paul sums it up and said, for me to live is Christ. He loved God so much. He gave God so much space to work through his life that his view on death became completely different. Death has become for him as Cain. As we can compare with the rich man, what he thought is gain. And to compare with Paul, it's completely different. So for this rich man, death wasn't gain. What gain for us today? What gain for me personally? Good investment? Good friends? Maybe some knowledge? Maybe some status in this world? House, good agreement, and so on. We can keep going in this direction. Today, gain for people is everything that makes life better than it was before. But indeed, not death. Why? Because death is curse. But we can see not for Paul. For him, Paul knew that the keys of hell and death are in secure hands of Jesus Christ, or one who died on the cross. And we can see Stephen, when he was stoned and he raised his eyes in the heaven, and he saw opened heaven and he saw Jesus Christ. We can see next to him John the Baptist, who said, he must increase and I will decrease. They all stand next to Paul and say, for me, live is Christ. For some Christian, this verse is rebuke and recommendation. Death will not be gained for those whose life is not Christ. Paul doesn't call everyone to die. He talks about the fear that comes to everyone who stands on the threshold of life and death and clings to life with all their strength. Why does this happen? It happens maybe because the meaning of life was everything and a little bit of Christ, or maybe without Christ. As I said, people count death as curse, but it shouldn't be for us as for Christians. Why? Because we have a Christ. When we will go there, we will meet the one who redeemed us. It will be the most precious moment in our life. For those for whom life on earth has become meaning and purpose, they will be greatly disappointed. Why? Because death will come anyway. And the last things. In this verse we can see the meaning and purpose for life. Paul's meaning and goal was Christ. He had a Christ-centered life. And we can see through all his letters what he did and his actions. He said, I'll do everything. I will do what pleases Christ. I will not go to Asia because Holy Spirit doesn't allow me to go there. Or, for example, it's a time to go to Macedonia. Why? Because Macedonian men came and called me there. He said, I'll go to Jerusalem, even to Rome, even if death awaits. Why? Because Christ leads me there. So, to look on Paul's life, we see that he determined his actions not from his own earthly perspective, but from heavenly view. If we will substitute Christ and if we will put something except Christ and say, for me, life is money. Will death be gain? No. If I will say, for me, life is power. Will death be gain? No. Okay, you can say, Misha, you are talking about two obvious things. Okay, let's go further. If for me life is children, will death be gain? No. For me life is husband or wife. Will death be gain? No. For me life is recognition, house, everything. You can put anything except Christ. Will death be gain? No, no, no. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. These words are applicable for everyone. For students, for married couples, for husbands, for fathers, for wives and mothers, for poor and rich, for educated and not, for pastors, for preachers, and for ordinary Christians, for everyone. In other words, there is no group of people to whom it wouldn't be related. That's why we need to seek God as He found us. We need to live by God as He died. We could live. We need get attached to Him. We need invest in Him. Do not let the temporary overshadow the eternal. Do not let exchange the limited for the infinite. Do not let the earthly replace the heavenly. Amen.
Misha, thank you. Let's take a moment just to think on what we've heard there. Think about that verse, Philippians 1, verse 12.